Hello and welcome to Seared Stories from the Stove podcast. I am Paul Silva. Still am, have always been, and as long as I know, nothing's changed. So glad to have you here. It is, as of this recording, it is April 30th. So if you're Canadian and you're listening to this or you're watching this after this day, you're late for your taxes. If you did not pay your taxes, CRA is going to be looking for you. So just a gentle reminder from this, from one hoser to another, eh? So for anyone else and everyone else, we are into spring. And with that comes spring cleaning. And I just want to quickly mention before we jump in that I have just created a workshop, free, a creative spring cleaning. And it's a 1 hour. It's going to be May 7th, Tuesday, 1 o'clock Eastern. Going to get worksheets, going to get the whole deal. We're going to do some work because it's a workshop, not a sit shop or a sleep shop. And we're going to look at all the energetic leaks that you have in your life, creatively. Who are you hanging around? What kind of things are you consuming? How much scrolling are you doing? How's your desk and your physical environment, your digital environment? How's it set up? Are you getting blocked? Is it stopping you from moving up and creating new innovations and all that kind of stuff? So we're going to go through all of that and just basically defrag you. Because I know you got designs on cleaning that car and making your backyard look nice and all that, but don't forget about you. So just want to throw that out there. You can register. It's for free. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. All right. So what are we going to do today? We're going to talk about the well-documented and contentious topic of front of house versus back of house. We're going to start there. And you know that we are going to meander into something else. It's going to morph and you're going to love it. If you don't love it, too bad. So, front of house, back of house. Front of house, of course, the chefs, cooks, dishwasher. Front of house, everyone else. Servers, managers, bartenders, all that kind of stuff. So, generally, there's this, not always, but often, there's an energy between the two. A little friction. And often it's the servers. I always feel so bad for the servers sometimes. You know, they come back and they just get yelled at. They just get yelled at by not only the cooks, they get yelled at by the chef. It's like no win for them. You know, front of house has its issues. Back of house has its issues. Now, it's a team. When I was a chef, you know, as a cook, I bought into that whole divisive nature of this whole industry, and I'd be kind of sassy, and you know, I swore like a sailor. I used to have one place I worked, a chef had to actually tell me and another guy to cool it because the servers were afraid to come into the kitchen. We were so catty and mean. So, and we swore, so anyway, lots of mom jokes, let's put it that way. And as I moved up, obviously I've been sanitized of all that. Just with lots of training and working in corporate and all that. Anyway, the deal is this, you know, for those who aren't in the industry, there's just always this friction where the servers feel like it's hard to come into the kitchen because, you know, the chefs are yelling at them and all that. Now, what's the beef that the cooks have, you may ask? A lot of times it would come down to money. Actually. So here's the deal. You know, I had so many cooks who would badmouth servers, especially if the servers are in the back counting their cash and, you know, doing their cash outs and stuff. And they would go on this whole thing of, you know, servers don't care. They have these short shifts and they make tons of money. It's an easy job. All they want to do is just come and eat. They don't know the menu. They're dumb. Like just all these dumb things. And a lot of chefs perpetuate this, not feud, I wouldn't say it's feud, but this division. And I was one of the few that actually I tried to mend all that because I just thought this is stupid. Why we're all on the same team. In the end, the goal is to have the guest, the diner, have an extraordinary experience, both service and food. And you can't do that when the two sides are feuding. Just stupid things. And whenever I hear a cook say that, I say, okay, sure, do that. Like, if that's, why don't you just take off your whites right now and become a server. If it's so easy and you make tons of money, then what are you doing here? Why are you here? And it'd be kind of quiet and grumbling. Just take off your whites. They're free. First thing, though, you're going to have to pay for the uniform that they're wearing. You got to wear it. So a few $100s. Now you're going to have to buy the shoes, the pants, everything. And you have to dry clean them and make sure they're clean and all that. You'll have to do that every, like, right off the bat. And then you're going to have to do this. And, you know, here's the thing with servers. I always felt bad because not only are they getting it from the back of house, but they're getting it. They got their manager breathing down their neck. They got maybe, let's say, a surly bartender they got to deal with. They have, you know, busboy or food runners, whatever, who maybe they got something going on with them. You've got guests who might be complaining, who might be challenging. And throughout the whole thing, you've got to smile. You've got to smile and you've got to put out the fires and you've got to appease everyone. You've got to know the menu. You've got to handle the kitchen staff. Pardon me. You have to, like, there's so many things you're doing. You've got to open wine. And so I always felt bad for them in some way. Sure, they got compensated. But at the end of the day, that's what they choose, right? And I remember at one place I worked, it was a big corporation. And one of the things they had, and this happened actually in many places, where any front of house manager, they had to do a rotation in the kitchen for, like, I think a week or two. And one place, this new manager, Bruce, and that was his name. I'm not going to say his last name, but he's awesome. I hope one day he watches this or listens. So Bruce was supposed to rotate, and the kitchen stuff, like, oh my God, someone, we had a babysit, and we just the stupid things that we came up with. And he came in just all, like, just how Bruce is, just, like, just enthusiastic and passionate, and he just blew our socks off. Like, we thought we'd have to handle, he was like, we didn't want him to go after he was done. We're like, Bruce, work in the kitchen with us. He was fantastic. But here's the thing. Everything Bruce did, he came with that attitude. Whether he was doing a food running, day, or whether he had to fill in for the sommelier, or he had to fill in for the bar manager, or whatever it is, he came with the same attitude. And no surprise, he did move up in the company, did very well for himself. And all of this comes down to one thing, and that is choice. We all have choice in how we show up. We have choice in what we do, right? We have choice in how we want to, what attitude we want to come with, right? It's about making the decision. And so in this episode, what I want to kind of focus on is what it means to choose, you know, where your decisions come from, how they affect you, and how choice is really your superpower. So with that, hold off, grab something to eat, and stay tuned. We're going to jump right into it. I'm very excited about this one. All right. Thanks for making the choice to come back from the break. I hope that you are choosing to tend to your needs as required. So if you need to pause further and get a nice sandwich, then go ahead. I don't know if, do you guys know sandwich and sandwich? I grew up with a lot of Italians, so it was never a sandwich, it's a sandwich. And what is the difference? It's the intention behind it. Some a veal sandwich. Hey, we want to get a sandwich. It's just, I started saying sandwich for the longest time. And I had to remind myself, oh no, there's a D in there. It's sandwich. But sandwich is just, a sandwich is just more, it's just heartier. It tastes better just if you pronounce it like a sandwich. This makes no sense. Anyway, I don't know why I went down that path. Anyway, let's dive a little into choice. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. Now, there is a powerful book. I don't know if you've read it. It's called Man's Search for Meaning. It's written by Holocaust survivors and psychiatrist Viktor Frankl. And there's so many revelations in that book. Please, I would just pick that up. He does say one thing. He says, everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. And so even when life kind of gives you a rotten hand, and imagine this guy was in like concentration camp, okay? But he said, every human being has the freedom to change at an instant. So essentially, we always retain the power of choice. And what does that mean? Because we do have choice in everything we do. How we show up, you know, how our attitude is. Like, you know, I talked about Bruce. And the cooks, they chose a different attitude. I chose different attitudes. You know, we have choice in what we do that day, what we don't do. You know, we can choose what we wear. We can choose what we eat. But we also choose, like, what's in between the ears. We can choose, like, what's here in our heart. We can choose our attitude, right? Like, I can get into, I have a lot of Scorpio in my chart. I have a certain personality. And as much as you hear me going on here and just all this positivity and all this, I can be a moody mofo. Like, that's just the reality. My default has always been negative. And I work very hard at this. This is the inner work that I've always had. Is to step away and totally, I'm constantly reframing. I don't know where I mentioned that. I don't know if it was in this previous episode. I think it was a previous episode. No, I was on a live, on Instagram Live. Follow me if you're not following me on Instagram or TikTok. I was talking about how I'm constantly reframing. And people were surprised. But that's where my head goes. So I constantly choose to reframe my situation or my way of being. This morning, I was kind of in a mood like that. That was a choice. You know, I can claim, you know, the astrological weather. I can claim situations and circumstances in my life. I can claim I feel tired and sleep well. At the end of the day, it's a choice. And for some folks, that's a hard pill to swallow, because it's easy to step into victimhood. Well, this and that and this and that. Of course, if you had my life, you would feel this way too, or be this way. If you grew up the way I did, it's always a choice, right? And this is a tough one, because I know there's going to be people saying, well, you didn't have a dad as an alcoholic. I get all that. I hear it. But there's other people who had those similar situations and they've chosen a different path. They chose to show up in a different way. People who are with disabilities, people who have been run over by a Zamboni a gazillion times, still show up in a certain way because they choose to. Now, just a disclaimer, because whenever I get into this, I get a lot of pushback. You know, when we talk about things like mental health disorders or anything where there's like a crippling chemical issue that causes problems with decision making, that's a little bit different. You know, if you have depression, anxiety, neurodiverse, etc., do you have choice still? I think so. Why wouldn't you? Are you unable to make any kind of decision? Now, again, I don't have those, although I have lots of neurospicy folks who tell me, like, are you sure you're not one of us? But those things definitely can maybe make decision-making harder. I'm not saying that. But at the end of the day, there's still choice, right? Even men and women in prison have a choice to be free in their mind, right? Like Viktor Frankl, he's in a concentration camp. He said he was like one of the freest. He felt the freest there because he made that decision. Not easy, not going to lie. Don't know if I could have gone that far. But there's definitely some roadblocks for some people. So I just want to put that out there. I'm talking in broad brushstrokes, I realize. And at the end of the day, I can only talk about myself. And for me, there's definitely days I choose how I show up, you know? And then I had my addiction. Of course, that's a whole different thing. And there's those who argue that addiction is a disease model and there's no choice, et cetera, which I believed for years. There's other people who say it's a choice all the time, which I don't totally agree with either, because that tends to put, tends to demonize people with who suffer from addiction. I'm probably somewhere now in a place where, was it Dr. Mark Lewis? I believe it's Dr. He's a neuroscientist, and he was actually addicted to drugs, I believe. And he talks about this learning model of addiction. Anyway, I don't want to go down that. That's a whole different episode, I think. But at the end of the day, I did have choice in, I chose one day to get on the road of recovery. I made that decision. Was it hard along the way? Oh, yeah. Were there many times I wanted to get sober? Absolutely. Did it feel like I had no choice? Yes. But at the end of the day, I did have choice. There was just something about being addicted that I got something from. That just, it's truth for me. Again, that's me. Someone else may have a different story. That's fine. So let's step away from that for a second. So going back to choice, we all have choice in how we show up. We all have choice in how we speak, how we think about ourselves, right? We have that choice. You know, the choices, like where you are in your life right now, is a culmination of all the decisions you've made until now, if you think about it. And where are those choices coming from? Where are those decisions coming from? A lot of it's just the subconscious. Subconscious, like you've heard many times here and other places, drives about 95% of your actions. And that comes from your beliefs. If I believe I'm an idiot, I can't do anything right, I'm clumsy, I'm useless and all that, my actions are going to reflect that. Because that's how I feel about myself. But I think if I think I'm intelligent, I'm successful, I'm sought after, I have a lot to give, my reflections will my actions will reflect that. So it starts with the programming we have. Now, a lot of it is when we were kids, we can't really help that part. But again, we have a choice. We can recognize it and say, oh, you know what? I had, you know, this thing growing up where we believed X, Y, Z. Money is the root of all evil, let's say. I recognize that now. I've done some inner work. Now I have a choice to change that. I can live with that and just see and repel money, because I think it's only arrogant and greedy people have money, or I can shift my belief on that. And then when I shift my belief on that, my actions shift, which then my results shift. It's a flow. It's a workflow. It's like a little chart, right? It's a little workflow chart, but it all starts with choice. And if I step into no choice, it's still a choice. You can't hide from it. You can't hide, you can't hide from it. And it's something that it pops up every day. Every moment is a choice. Now, we make tons of decisions in the day without even thinking about it. Do I want fries or do I want salad? Do I want this? Do I want to use my Visa or do I use my Master credit card? Do I want to drink water or do I want to drink Coke? We make tons of choices. I don't know how many. I should look that up. But you have the power in all of those decisions to choose what is best for you. You know, and so when we look at a choice, like it's like, who do we hang out with? Who do we choose to spend our time with? What do we choose to consume? Are we on social media all day just doom scrolling? Are we reading just, bad news all day? Are we looking at, what gruesome videos all, whatever, I don't know. We're playing video games all day, and I love video games, so that's not a negative thing. But there's a difference between chilling out and numbing out. You know, are we numbing out? Are you choosing to avoid things in your life because it seems easier? These are all the things that come up. And whenever you feel like there's some friction in your life, it feels like things aren't going well, you feel like there's like some tension, it could be because you're choosing things that are going against what is best for you. You're going against your own nature. And you're hanging around with the people that you just know, like these gossip hounds, and they're backstabbers, but somehow there's an allure to it. That's your choice. you made that decision. You made your bed, now you lie in it. And this may seem like a very simple concept, but it is, and it is, but it's very powerful too, because we often will sit back in victimhood. Oh, that's not my fault. Oh, they made me do this. Oh, no one made you do anything. You might be in a tight situation. Even if there's a gun to your head, you still have a choice. There's consequences to our choices, of course. That's different. But we always have a choice. And I feel like we con ourselves into thinking that we don't. And I know that I say that about me. This is everything I'm talking about is here I am. I'm the problem. Is that a Taylor Swift? Is that from Taylor Swift? I don't say anything bad about Taylor Swift. I'm not at all into her music. I'm not a fan. But I know if I say anything, the pitchforks and torches are coming my way. Hi Swifties. You guys are great. Okay. But it comes down to how I see myself. What are my beliefs? Because those are the strongest drivers and levers in your life. And that comes from how do I want to show up? Again, it's choice. And you can map this out, right? This is why we talk about goals and your beliefs and what do you want them to be. You can choose what your beliefs are. You don't have to feel like, well, I grew up with, you know, strict Christians, or I grew up with, you know, in this whatever. That's how you grew up, and you didn't, it was hard for you to stand up for yourself when you're 7. You were dependent on caregivers. But now as an adult, you can make a decision to shift that. And sometimes it is hard. That's why therapy and coaching and you know, people go into spirituality or religion or whatever it is, they self-seek and uncover and root out a lot of that stuff so that they can make better decisions based on more information, so they can better their lives, create more, innovate more, live life larger, live life with more love to self and others, more connected to ground and to spirit. Whatever it is that gets your goat, you get to do that. You can choose to be a total asshole, or you can choose to do your best and to help others. It's your decision. Because at the end of the day, what you have, what's in front of you, what's around you, what's in you is all of your making. When I'm in a crappy mood, when I'm feeling grumpy, that's me. That's all on me. It's not my wife. It's not my friends. It's not my colleagues. They didn't make me that way. I chose that. I chose to stay up late. I chose to be doom scrolling. I chose to go heavy on fries and pasta instead of, you know, proteins and fruit. I made those decisions. And in the end, that's what I got. And then I stayed in a funk because I just want to be like Pingu, you know, just all grumpy. Remember Pingu? I love Pingu. So it's my choice. So anyway, I don't want to belabor this because I've probably said choice and decision and choosing about 7 million times. But I hope you get the point, right? I used to always tell myself sometimes, be like Bruce. Be like Bruce. He, even to this day, you know, I've run into him now and then, and he's still the same. It's just he's created that pattern and that habit, because that's the other part of it, is creating the habits, right? He got into a habit of just seeing things in a certain light. Doesn't mean he doesn't have bad days and bad moments. Of course he does. He's human. But this also ties into habits. And when you have a pattern of a repeated way of doing things and thinking, and you do it long enough, that becomes a habit. And habits are wonderful because a lot of times they're unconscious. So it's like, instead of, let's say, going to the gym or working out, instead of fighting it every time, oh, do I have to go into it? When it becomes a habit, you just do it. It takes all of the stress out. And that's in, you know, maybe how you nourish yourself, or maybe how you, you know, with things with your family, all that kind of stuff. It's habits. And again, that is a byproduct of a consistently made decision to do a certain thing, say a thing, feel a thing, think a thing, whatever it is. So your habits, your beliefs, all of these can, if I were to look at them, I could probably tell you what your life is going to be like. And you can do the same. So if you want to change the trajectory of where you're at, think about what choices are you making along the way. And that's where you can, that's where the flow chart can change. That's where you can shift the next step. So do that. If that is what you desire, if you're happy where you are, cool. But I don't know about you, but I'm always looking to get, improve, and to be, and to feel deeper, and to love more, and to create more. So it's your decision. And don't forget, I have this thing on May 7th. If you want to help in that, in creativity, also you can check my website. I do one-on-one coaching, private coaching. We can do all this kind of stuff. We do lots of other creative-based exploration, if you will. And I don't mean create just in art. Create just is in innovate and to solve problems and to see things in different lights so you can get different results. Please, if this was helpful in any way, please share this, like, subscribe, just interact in any way. That would be so lovely. And that's all I've got to say. That's it. I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm done with... Just kidding. Love you all. Thank you. And kitchen's closed. Now scram.